Lorraine Culbertson stood beside the hospital bed, looking down at herself. Well, she couldn't actually see herself anymore, since the nurse had pulled the sheet up over her face. The nurse, Deborah, had actually been very sweet. After turning off the monitor and pulling out the IV tubes, the young nurse had paused by the bedside, bowed her head, and evidently said a short, silent prayer before whispering, "Amen," and leaving the room. Of course, the nurse had been unaware of Lorraine's soul standing there by the draped form of herself, or what people politely termed Lorraine's remains, which were lying there between the bars of the hospital bed. The nurse couldn't see Lorraine's spirit, because the living were not permitted to see the souls of the departed while they hovered around at their passing, waiting to go where? That, after all, was the key question. Where exactly was she going? Lorraine shivered at that thought, even though her spiritual form was quite unaffected by earthly things like heat or cold. She had always believed in life after death, had been convinced of the things she had heard in Sunday school and later from the pulpit. And now her beliefs were being confirmed. She was indeed here. So, what happens next? She knew that she had led a life with a firm belief that Jesus was indeed Lord. She had been active in her church, had kept a regular discipline of prayer, which she had found so very rewarding, particularly in the last year and a half, as the cancer had slowly and painfully gnawed away more and more of her body. But her life had been so bland. Lorraine had never married, although she had come close a couple of times. She had taught elementary school for 17 years in the county where three generations of her family had lived, and she had certainly been faithful to her students. But had hers been a life well lived? Would the God of heaven look her in the eye and say, "Yes, Lorraine, well done, my good and faithful servant"? Or would there be some other outcome from the meeting that she presumed was waiting just beyond the horizon of her eternity? Lorraine said quietly to herself, "I suppose, in the end, my life really wasn't worth too much." It was at that point that a strangely familiar voice murmured to her,
"That's not saying much for you, is it?"
Lorraine turned around, and there standing before her was Mickey Rooney. Lorraine stammered, You can see me?" "You betcha," Mickey replied. "I can see you fine, large as life." "Well, at least large as the afterlife?" With that, Mickey Rooney laughed. But Lorraine asked in confusion, "Aren't you the actor Mickey Rooney?" "Yeah, I know. That's what I look like, don't I? But nah, I just look like Mickey. I'm really the angel of death." "The angel of death?" "At your service. That's me." I can actually adopt any image, but lately I've been using Mickey Rooney. You see, whenever I come to escort people into the kingdom, I want to appear as a non-threatening personality. Things usually have been so traumatic for most people at the end. And who could be less threatening for a walk into the eternal sunset than Mickey Rooney? You escort people into the kingdom? Lorraine said. Oh, I'm so relieved. I was really worried. For a moment, Mickey, a.k.a. the Angel of Death, looked confused. Why? He asked. Lorraine stammered, well, I thought we might be going to, well, the other place. Mickey said, nah, that's not the way I work.
I don't do things that way.
No, if that had been your destination, the other place, you'd already be there and I wouldn't be here. No, I only come to lead souls to the kingdom. So what do you say, Lorraine? You ready to blow this joint? Ready for a little excitement? Because
I want to live dangerously.
With that, the diminutive form of the young Mickey Rooney reached a hand through the hospital room door as though it were not there at all, bowed, and with a flourish of the other hand said, "After you, my lady." As they walked through the door into the hospital corridor, a doctor in a white lab coat, with a stethoscope poking out of her left jacket pocket, was writing on a chart as she walked toward them. Nobody noticed Lorraine and Mickey as they strode down the hallway because nobody could see them. Lorraine struggled for words as she walked. Angel. Oh, just call me Mickey. My real name is in an ancient language you couldn't possibly pronounce anyway. Okay, Mickey. Is there anything you can tell me about where we're going? About the kingdom? I mean, other than what I read in the book? Mickey stopped in the middle of the hallway and asked Lorraine.
Book? What book?
Oh, you know, the Bible. Oh, that book, Mickey said. Well, I could try and describe heaven to you in human words, but it wouldn't do much good. Of course, you've read about it some in John's letter, and old Johnny did a really good job describing heaven, too, for a human. And Mickey went on to say, he's a really nice man.
He's a very nice man. You know, he took me on a tour the other day to see the whole place here. Believe it or not, I didn't understand a thing he showed me.
Mickey continued, it's very confusing for a human, or even an ex-human, to try and describe heaven. Human words can't really capture the utter beauty and peace of the kingdom. Besides, I've got a suspicion that the Father has a pretty special place in mind for you. I mean, after all, you're a heavy hitter up there. At these words, Lorraine stopped dead in her tracks. Me? Somebody special? No, you must have me confused with somebody else. I mean, what did I ever do in my life? What's the matter with you?
What's the matter with you?
Nobody's special. Oh, what nonsense. Your life has been huge news in the kingdom for years. Why, I saw the crew from Heavenly Hostess Catering preparing a special welcoming banquet for you on my way down here. But, Lorraine mumbled, but why? I didn't do anything special with my life. A look of slow realization grew on Mickey's face, and he smiled. Oh, I get it. I was forgetting what a really limited view the human being has. Here, Lorraine, let me show you something.
Something to show you?
At this point, the angel lifted his right arm and flicked his first and second fingers. A kind of hole appeared in the right-hand wall of the hospital hallway, and Lorraine found herself looking at a family laughing around the dinner table. It was a father, a mother, and three young children, all boys. Aren't they having a good time? Yeah. That's Roger Samuels and his wife Beatrice with their three kids, the angel said. But I taught a boy named Roger Samuels in my Sunday school class last year. Yep, Mickey confirmed. That's Roger, 20 years from now. Because of what Roger learned from you about the importance of family in your Sunday school class, 20 years from now, Roger and Beatrice Samuels will adopt 3 children in the foster care system. One of those boys, the one there in the middle at the table, will grow up to be one of the greatest evangelists this country has ever seen. That wonderful church will transform the lives of so many of God's children and will lead hundreds of people to the Lord. Now the angel lifted his left arm and performed the same kind of 2-fingered flick of the wrist. Another hole opened, this time on the left wall of the hospital hallway. Lorraine saw a hospital operating room. At first, she thought it might be the OR in the hospital where she and the angel were standing. But then Lorraine realized that much of the equipment in this operating room consisted of things she had never seen before. Mickey explained, "That's an operating room in a neonatal hospital in San Francisco 25 years from now. They'll specialize in corrective surgery for infants. You can't really tell because of the mask she's wearing, but the surgeon operating there is Melissa Simonson." "Melissa Simonson?" Lorraine whispered in wonder. "You mean..." "Yep. The little girl with red hair and freckles you taught in your 3rd grade class 3 years ago. Did you notice how fascinated Melissa was every time you talked about plants and animals and natural science? You lit a fire in that little girl's mind, Lorraine, and it never went out. Melissa will devote the rest of her life to making sure every child who passes through that clinic in San Francisco has a fighting chance at a normal life." And now the angel lifted both hands. And a desk appeared in the middle of the hallway. It was one of those miniature tables that elementary schools have, and there was a tiny girl sitting at that table, completely enthralled by a book. "This is something really special I wanted to show you. I used to be just like that little girl when I was on Earth." Lorraine asked in surprise, "You went to school?" "Sure did, and I loved it too."
"I never missed a day of school in my life."
Lorraine was intrigued, so she asked, "What else did you do as a child?" The angel responded, "Well, I was a pretty keen roller skater."
"I used to like to roller skate."
"But I loved school too, just like little Brenda." Then Lorraine recognized the little girl with the dark hair and those glasses that seemed to cover most of her face. She said, "Why, isn't that Brenda Adamson?" "Yep, Brenda Adamson, the little girl with the big glasses." "Did you know, Lorraine, that you were the one, not her mom, not her dad, but you were the first human being who ever treated that little girl with any kind of praise and real affection? And because of the love and attention that Brenda received in your classroom, she now has a confidence she never had before. She's become secure enough to believe, to really believe, she can make something of herself. And she's fallen in love with reading." Then Brenda Adamson will graduate on full scholarship from one of the finest universities in this country, and she'll take on the same job as the person who has come to be her life's model. Because of you, Lorraine, that little girl will become a teacher, an extraordinarily gifted, committed teacher of children. If it hadn't been for you, Lorraine, what do you think would have happened to little Brenda? Well, I just don't know.
I don't know. I don't know.
But it sure was a blessing for that little girl when you came into her life. Lorraine couldn't say anything. She and the angel stood there in silence, watching the little girl's fingers chase the lines of text across the page she was reading, her tiny mouth forming the words silently as she read. "Lorraine?" The angel put his right hand on her left shoulder and looked deeply into her eyes. You've been given a special gift.
I can see it in your eyes.
Every human being is allocated a certain number of heartbeats by God, and every one of those 2 billion beats of the human heart can be put toward good or ill. The true believer, the one who accomplishes mighty deeds for the kingdom, that kind of believer is the one who dedicates every day to seeing Jesus in the face of everyone around her, regardless of their warts. That kind of believer is absolutely committed to bringing Jesus into the life of each person who crosses her path, no matter how insignificant some of those encounters might seem. That kind of Christian never lets go of her faith in believing that each encounter we have in this life is brought about by God and can be used to glorify Him. That kind of Christian is always ready to live for the Lord, no matter the time or place. In short, Lorraine, that kind of Christian is you. The angel turned and began walking slowly down the hospital corridor. Lorraine took one last look at the vision of Brenda Adamson at her tiny table, and then she turned and followed the angel toward an elevator on the right-hand side of the hospital hallway. Lorraine didn't remember this elevator being there when she had been admitted several weeks before. The doors to this elevator shone with a kind of luster, brighter than any polished metal she had ever seen. When the angel reached out and pressed the elevator button, Lorraine noticed that there was only an up arrow and no button to press for going to any lower place. There was a whirring sound, and a clear silver bell rang as the elevator doors slowly drew open. She smiled into the light of rainbow colors that shone from inside that elevator, and taking the hand of the Angel of Death, a.k.a. Mickey Rooney, Lorraine Culbertson stepped into the elevator car and went home to be with her Lord. The lines recorded from Mickey Rooney in this story are from the Warner Brothers films Andy Hardy Meets Debutante and A Slight Case of Larceny, and from the Republic film The Atomic Kid. This story, Being Ready to Live, was written, recorded, and produced by James Barnhill for 1 Thessalonians 5:11. This and other work is available for listening at the website onethes511.net. That's www.1THES511.net. That's www.1THES511.net. onesays511.net. You can contact us there at the website, and we'd love to hear from you. Therefore, beloved, encourage one another and build up each other, as indeed you are doing. Until next time, the peace that passes all understanding.